Hello and welcome to the Live Implant Graphics Webinar, Data Security for Implant and Enterprise Fleet Document Workflows, sponsored by Canon Solutions America. My name is Patrick Henry. I'm Director of Liberty or Death Communications, and I'm going to be your host for today's event. Before we get started, let me take a moment to point out the Tips for Attendees widget on your console. That would be the blue button with the wrench on it, second from right. If you missed the Tech Tips video that we were playing and the run-up to the webinar today, you can always click on this widget for more information about manipulating the console and the interface. And throughout today's presentation, we want you to please feel free to send us questions by using the Q&A box on your console. We're going to reserve about 15 minutes at the end of the webinar to get to as many of your questions as we possibly can. Now we're going to begin with an introduction to data security and then turn it over to an expert who deals with the issues of data security every day in his healthcare organization. Our guest speaker is Robert Siebenthaler, and Bob is Program Manager for Managed Print at Peace Health, which is based in Vancouver. Have some more information about Bob when we get to his presentation. Well, here you see a typical scene in a print center, or it could be at some point in a fleet of devices. You see people accessing documents in digital and hard copy form, and it looks normal and it looks pretty problem free until you look a little bit more closely, and you can see that there are security vulnerabilities occurring at different points in this scenario. Some inadvertent, some accidental, some maybe not quite so innocent if they're being directed from outside. So this is the situation that every implant, every enterprise fleet, every print center potentially faces with respect to data security. So what we need to do is talk about the extent of the situation, the extent of the problem, really, because as we'll see, it is a problem, and then talk in practical terms about what we can do to mitigate these vulnerabilities so that we're not losing data from our printed and our electronic documents. Now, needless to say, when you lose data of any kind, you are losing money. And in an implant, in a print center, in a fleet, when you lose records, you can put a price tag onto the loss of those records. The survey that I'm citing here looked at it three ways: cost per loss of individual record, extrapolating that out to the whole of the organization that suffered the data breach, and then looking at what this means in cost due to business loss. And really, the numbers, as you'll see, are a little bit dispiriting. Costs better than $200 to lose a record containing sensitive data, and the record containing sensitive data is defined in this study as a record containing a person's name and some sort of piece of sensitive identifying information, a social security number, a telephone, and address. And bearing in mind that data breaches are never about losses of individual records, that these losses occur in masses, the average cost per breach per organization works out to about $6 million, according to this survey. Look at the cost of lost business due to data breaches. These would be losses in the aftermath, the lingering negative effects due to loss of customer loyalty, increased churn, turnover that wouldn't have occurred had the data breach not occurred. And finally, the statement at the very bottom there indicating that this is the type of loss to which every organization that handles data, that creates documents, that shares documents, potentially is prone to. And here we're reckoning the probability of your organization being hit with something like this at about 20%. This is conservative. I've seen estimates that go considerably higher than this, but the takeaway is that your organization, your enterprise fleet, your implant, your print center has some exposure to data loss if you are not taking proactive precautions, and we'll see what some of those can be. Now, in vertical markets, the story can only get worse. Bob will have a lot to say, I'm sure, about the healthcare industry that he's part of. But within the healthcare industry, it's been reckoned that losses due to data breaches can run better than $5.5 billion annually. And think of what that means to those organizations. The services that they're not able to render, the quality of services that they're not able to provide their stakeholders as they're trying to adjust to these losses due to breaches in data security. Now, these breaches can occur for a lot of reasons, and a lot of the threats are external. They're maliciously directed, but by far, what concerns managers in these situations is what's going on and what's not going on internally. 75% of people responsible for this say that what's keeping them up at night is the fact that their procedures may not be tight enough, that their employees or their staffs may not be sufficiently aware that negligence may be playing into this. So loss can occur for a lot of reasons, but probably the most effective way we can attack it, as we'll see, is by doing it close to home. Now, it's not as if concern was limited to internal procedures, to financial losses. There's a legal and regulatory aspect to this as well. The law looms rather large over all of this. You see listed there some enactments at mostly at the federal level, but they can occur at the state level, local level level as well. Laws and regulations requiring organizations that create and share documents to protect the sensitive data of their customers, of their enrollees, of their students, if they are educational institutions, and there are enforcement mechanisms and penalties attached to all of this body of law. Complying with these laws and regulations touches every aspect of the management of an in-plant, a fleet, or a print center, system architecture, network control, so on and so forth. These are all process steps that have to be addressed if your organization is going to be in full and successful compliance with these regulations. So we've got the government looking over our shoulders as we endeavor to do all of this. Now, what ought to be the objectives of a data security program, and what are standing in the way of our achieving these objectives? Well, the objectives really are pretty simply expressed. There are three of them: confidentiality, integrity, and availability. And these objectives are really pretty self-explanatory. Confidentiality simply means we keep that data, we keep those documents out of hands in which it doesn't belong. You know, just keep the sensitive data out of the hands of the bad guys who would like to get it and exploit it. There's a little bit more to it. We have got to protect our documents against alteration, either inadvertently, by accident, or from some external threat, so the data isn't changed, so the data aren't deleted, so that viruses are not inserted into the data. So that is the second protective barrier we've got to throw up. And while we are doing the first two, we have to be very confident that we are not impeding access by legitimate users. There are people within our organizations, people outside of our organizations, who need these documents, who need this data. We want to make sure that if we dig the moat and put up the palisades, as it were, we haven't made these barriers insurmountable by people who really, really should be accessing those documents. Well, that's easily enough said. We know what we need to do. Now, what is occurring to keep us from accomplishing these objectives? Here is another survey of document professionals, and first question they asked of their reporting group was, what's keeping you up at night? What do you perceive to be the greatest risks to security of data and documents in your organization? And it's interesting that the most frequently cited one is probably the one that's easiest to correct with a little bit of awareness. This is almost the well, duh answer. If we're leaving hard copies out in trays and bins and so forth, obviously we don't want to leave them there. A little bit of training ought to be sufficient for us to get that those printouts picked up. Well, that's the easy part, really. The rest is not so easy because here we are talking about systems. Here we are talking about computer networks. So we're talking about securing individual devices, and this is something that is very, very difficult to do if you don't do it all at once, if you don't do it globally. So there are a lot of challenges there. As a follow-up, having identified the things that are keeping people up at night with respect to data security, this survey asked the same people, well, you know, what are you doing about it? How are you covering these risks? Have you done any sort of an inventory of the assets in your network or your print center? Are you monitoring this centrally in any way? Are you keeping records of what's done or, you know, what's being done or what is being done, shouldn't be done, what isn't being done, should be done? Well, the answers were, again, somewhat dispiriting. If you look at the percentages of I don't knows and knows to the second two questions, you can see that a lot of vulnerabilities potentially exist in the organizations represented by the people who gave those answers. Even in the first question about simple inventory, well, nearly 80% said, yes, we do know what we have, but better than 21% said we don't. So obviously there are things we could be doing better. There's more information we could be gathering, and there are more procedures that we could be putting into place. Now, what is to be done about all of this? Well, a solution to any problem begins with awareness, and we are all here today because we are aware of these potentially vulnerabilities and want to develop a solution for combating them, and it needs to be one that protects data, as it says here, from fraud, unauthorized access, modification, and deletion. Now, you cannot achieve a solution like this except by doing it globally. You must do a thorough risk assessment of everything that you are doing, and probably most important of all, you need to begin to think about your documents in the context of their life cycle, what happens to them at all stages of their existence. In the printing business, we're used to thinking of printed products, printing machinery in terms of life cycle, cradle to grave or cradle to cradle if we're recycling. Documents have to be reviewed through the same lens and protected at every stage. Now, in a print center, this might begin with an exercise we call a systems penetration and vulnerability audit, and that's kind of a long-sounding phrase, really just for a careful examination of what we're getting up to. In an audit of this kind, we'll use various kinds of software to analyze and identify and analyze weaknesses in our print center's data security profile. Now, this audit may include deliberate attempts to hack the network to reveal any shortcomings that may exist in it. And what you get as a result of all of this is a confidential report on how secure the system is and what we may need to do in order to patch the deficiencies that we have found, if we have found any. Now, if there are no deficiencies, well, that's good news. Okay, we then can use the report as a clean bill of health to reassure our clients, to reassure our parents' organizations about the integrity of our data and document operations. If, on the other hand, we have identified problems, well, then we have a blueprint for fixing them. Now, undergoing a systems penetration and vulnerability audit is essential for print centers serving sensitive verticals such as legal, finance, medical, educational, and insurance. And again, the point here being that we need to examine comprehensively, and we need to solve globally. Once you have done your assessment and you have identified what needs to be addressed, you will find yourself addressing deficiencies at all stages of your operation. And again, you see some key functions listed here. And I like to put up a reference to Canon Solutions America here because Canon has paid a lot of attention to developing solutions for the kinds of problems that occur at these stages of document production, document transmission. There are other sources of assistance out there, but Canon has really doubled down on this and takes this quite seriously. So just to wrap up my portion of this, again, here is the outcome that we want to avoid. You know, keep that data, keep those documents from falling into the wrong hands. The good news is it is all doable. Okay, here we are back at our original scenario, a same picture we looked at the beginning, and instead of all of those vulnerabilities that we had to begin with, here we have remedies applied. Things have been patched. Procedures have been tightened up so that we can go about our business as implants, as enterprise fleets, as print centers without the kinds of concerns that were bedeviling us before we took a global view of making all of this right. Now, with that, I am very eager to turn this over to our content, our subject matter expert for today, and that's, of course, Bob Siebenthaler. And Bob is a veteran of all of this. Mr. Siebenthaler has more than 25 years' experience in program management and engineering. He's currently serving as Enterprise Content Management Architect and Program Manager for the IT Division of Peace Health. Now, in this role, Bob oversees document printing and document life cycles across Peace Health's network of 11 hospitals, 280 clinics, and 93 laboratories in three states. That's an enormous responsibility. His strategic approach for document security at Peace Health includes a monitoring system for enterprise-wide compliance with federal, state, and local laws. Bob is responsible, and additionally, for all of the administrative, physical, and technical safeguards that protect Peace Health's patient health information in both printed and electronic form. Prior to Peace Health, Bob served as program manager at the Lucile Packard Children's Hospital of Stanford University, and he was also director of technology assurance at FileNet, IBM. Bob, with that, please tell us how you have implemented data and document security at Peace Health.
Thank you, and good morning for some of you, and good afternoon for others. So I'll just kind of start off with a little premise before I get into my slides about what we've done. So Peace Health itself is a healthcare organization that was founded by the Sisters of St. Joseph's in Peace more than 100 years ago, and we're a not-for-profit system. So we see all different types of patient groups, from affluent to indigent patients, Alaska, Oregon, and Washington. We have 78,000 inpatient admissions, and we have outpatient registrations of about 750,000, and we have 1.2 million patient encounters a year. So we see a lot of patients out in the communities, in our hospitals, as well as in our clinics. And what I'm responsible for, and security from a hospital perspective, and I'll talk a little bit about our federal regulation in a moment, is, you know, the physical hard drives that are in our copiers, I'm responsible to make sure that those don't end up on the evening news somewhere. And there's been several of those over the years. So, in fact, that's one of the first things my CIO told me was, is I don't want to see any of this, any of our copiers in China or being bought on the aftermarket with confidential patient data on there. So we have a fleet which we've gotten down to one vendor. We originally had about 19 vendors when I originally came here from 7 different copier manufacturers and about 4,500 single function printers. So while our hospitals are on electronic medical records, we still produce a tremendous amount of paper. We print about 10 million pages a year, and every piece of that information that we print is needed to provide care to our patients and provide education to our patients, but it also is a potential security breach. And with the In 2009, the Healthcare Americans Recovery and Reinvestment Act put in a part called HIPAA. And probably everyone here who goes to a doctor, they sign a HIPAA release saying that you know they'll protect your healthcare information. So we have at Peace Health, we have a huge infrastructure, probably a couple of hundred people in security that worry about our everything on our perimeter, from data breaches coming in, the actual data that we have in it. My job is very focused in that I'm responsible for anything that we print and who prints it, and we have to be able to provide audit trails for that. And so the creation of this national healthcare infrastructure gives us the ability to transmit confidential patient data in and out of clinics which are within our system and exterior to our system. So I'm primarily responsible, like I say, for all the paper that moves around within this process. And we have one data breach as part of HIPAA. They have a secondary act that they came up with, which is called the HITECH Act, and it further tightened controls on the confidentiality of patient data. And a single breach, which we are required to report on ourselves, could cost $1 million per incident. So, and a simple breaches could be anything from somebody walking by a copier and seeing paper sitting on there with other patients' information. That's actual breach. And even in an exam room, when we print patient information, we have to be careful with what we call an after-visit summary. It's what your doctor gives you that tells you what your encounter with them was like. That has to be kept even within the family. So a husband and a wife, if they're in an exam room, really if the wife is the patient at that time, they're the only person that can see that. So we have to look at this from the actual printed output. We also have print shops as well as things that our caregivers are printing that will send reminder letters for mammograms or pediatric visit, follow-up visits, or just their annual checkups. So we have to, all of our print centers, fortunately, we don't have the outside public coming into them, like I'm sure a lot of people on this call does. So we keep those in secure facilities, and it goes from us to the U.S. mail. And that's how we maintain physical control of that type of data. So some of the things that we've done that's a little different in how we've implemented our print technology is we have three different medical records that we use. One is Epic, one is McKesson, and the other is from GE, Centricity. And at one of our facilities, we co-locate the data for all of our electronic health records in Drohan, California, at McKesson's data center. And so one of the challenges that we had was if our network goes down, the power goes out, and even though we have generator power, keep it up, people don't have access. Even providers don't know where their patients are, so we call that census data, but it's basically a room list of where those patients are and who their doctor is. So what we do is we transmit each one of our copiers using the Canon devices. They each have a hard drive in those, and we transfer every hour, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, patient data from the data center to those copiers. Those copiers are on backup power, so even if the power goes out, our network goes down, our system is down, providers, and either nurses or floor managers or doctors, can go right to the copiers and print out the latest medication administration reports, our census data, which tells where their patients are, several, and what their current orders are in the system. So we have to distribute that data out. Well, the potential, because we distribute that out to areas and even copiers that are in common areas, we had to come up with a solution so that data would be protected. So we purchase an option with our copiers that does actual hard drive encryption of the data. So we have 256-bit AES encryption of everything, because when somebody makes a copy or we send those down, they're either PDFs or they're TIFF images on the hard drive. And so we need that data encrypted, because some of our clinics and hospitals are not in the greatest of areas, and people could back up a truck and steal one of these copiers in the middle of the night. So we bought an additional option, which every time you turn it on, it does a wipe of the data on there. So we pretty much don't have to worry about, even when one of our copies are at end of life, we can sell those off to a recycler or give them to a recycler, and they can take them out. If they end up on the aftermarket, none of our data could ever be found on those hard drives. So to, as far as access control, we purchased a product called Uniflow, and what that is, it's a push-pull printing type of a scenario. So all our employees have badges, and they either use HID or Indela technology, and they have to badge in and badge out to print or copy. And so we have an audit trail of tied into, which is their Active Directory account or their Windows logon, just like when they're using their computer. That ties them to every print job they do or every copy job they do. And it gives us HIPAA compliance for devices that are in common areas. So if someone prints a device or prints a document and they forget to go pick it up, it still stays within inside the copier until it's actually released by the person and their badge. It reduced our paper about, 5 to 7% when we went to it, just from people forgetting to pick up jobs or something that they really didn't need, so they don't print it. It also gives us the ability, if any of our equipment goes down in the system, to be able to go up to any copier or anywhere in our system, wipe their badge, and their print job is there. So people that travel from floor to floor, we have per diem employees that are called floaters, and they'll one day they'll be on the second floor or the third floor. So we have a common user interface. We also give them access to their documents in a way. So the actual data center type of security is not something that I'm expert in, but as far as keeping track of the paper and keeping us HIPAA compliant throughout the system, we've implemented technologies to put the best safeguards in. And 2 years ago is when we started this implementation and just finished it about 6 months ago. So I think we have probably the best breed of document security that we can have when it comes to copying or printing. There's, of course, all kinds of other side that we have in the data center and from Windows and how they control access within the medical records. But when someone has to print or copy something, we have a full audit trail in the system of them doing so. So that's kind of the end of my presentation. I think we're have an option for people to ask questions. So I'll turn it back over to Patrick to do that.
Sure. Bob, thanks. Thanks very much. And I just would like to point out that the Uniflow solution that you described briefly comes to us from Canon, excellent example of some of the technologies that they have developed for document and data security. Well, we've covered a certain amount of ground on data security, and I would like to take some questions from the audience again. Please use the Q&A box to do that. I do have a few queued up that I'll begin with. And one person, Bob, asked, how do you best secure your data when you have a third party supporting your application to minimize risk? And what sort of third party considerations do you find that you have?
So Peace Health has what they call a business associate agreement, and it's all part of the HIPAA. So we have fairly strict controls for Medicaid and Medicare and who has access to those. So, I mean, there's the business associate agreements that we use even require people that we work with to not have, you know, to have criminal background and checks, never to have been involved in Medicare or Medicaid fraud. So, And I know in our data center they have secure data lines, the dark fiber I hear our network people talking about when we go to third parties. But basically it's with the agreement and a huge amount of education. So annually we're all have to go through different types of data security training at most companies, but here it's on a quarterly basis. And really, I think you brought it up earlier in your presentation that security really has to, or the biggest area where there could be a breach of security is in individuals. So we use agreements to work with the third parties, but it's education with all of our employees about, you know, For instance, I have pretty much access to all of our systems, but I'm not even allowed to look up my own health information. I have to go through what we have called as a release of information process and request my own medical information. So we have it's a combination of education and then having the proper agreements with third parties in place.
Bob, we've been asked if you can say whether you've had to deal with issues involving altered and fraudulent dollar amounts entered onto printed documents. I think I see what the question is getting at. Somebody attempting to inflate a bill for some purpose. Is that anything you've ever encountered?
I personally have not, but I would assume a healthcare system our size and with the Medicare and Medicaid audits that we frequently have and insurance company audits, I would imagine there was something, but I have no first.
Okay. Another interesting question, and I hadn't thought about this in terms of data security, but I think it's very, very applicable. The question is, what do you do about security measures to keep someone from copying a printed page? And I think what the questioner is getting at there is unauthorized reproduction of copyrighted material. And again, if the person who asked that question, if I am misinterpreting it, please indicate it in your box. But I think that's what he's getting at or she's getting at. Is this something that you try to keep an eye on, you know, unauthorized copying of copyrighted material?
It is. So we have mostly it's in our education areas, and we have pretty strict policies on any copyrighted material, just like we do with software licensing realm is that. We have policies against it, and we do education with that.
Okay, certainly, certainly an angle that would need to be covered. Since we talked a little bit about Uniflow, there's some interest in knowing pieces of Uniflow for the print room you've actually implemented, and what has that done for you? What's been the payoff?
So, I guess first and foremost, it is that if we can control access to the documents in those, just like we can control access to our facilities via the person's badge that's tied into it. There's a second phase of the Uniflow software that we're going to be implementing, which does cost-based routing. And first of all, we had to get our fleet consolidated down to where we had devices that would work with the software. And now that we're at that stage and we've implemented it and everybody's used to the badging, we're going to start using a cost-based routing. So our laser printers, I think, like color ones, are four times as much as our color copiers. So we've gotten to a stage now where we can track everything that's being printed at not the actual content that's being printed, but the types of documents that are being printed. And we have we get reports out of it every month that show us these are your top 25 that we see highest use of color laser printers. And so as part of our managed print program, we're going back into those departments and trying to route that either to our print shops or copiers that we have on the floors that are lower cost basis off of that. We saved a tremendous amount of money just since implementing this by pushing traffic to our copiers off of our laser printer.
Now, Bob, here's one that came in prior to the webinar that I think's interesting. Someone has asked, why aren't traditional data security solutions from leaders such as Symantec and McAfee suitable for print production environments? We rely on those products, you know, for personal and home computing, but why don't they measure up for professional use?
Traditionally, those types of products, and a lot of people do use them in a professional environment, but to protect from viruses and things like that. As far as document and actual data security, we need to be able to track the user, the time that they did it from an audit perspective. And the only way to be able to do that is to find out when they release the document. And those typical solutions for an enterprise that's the size of ours aren't robust enough to be able to provide that kind of access and access restriction as well as auditing.
Okay. Here's one that addresses distribution of documents. And it's being asked, how do you ensure quality of mail distributions that contain HIPAA data, such as enrollment communications and mass quantities? And I guess what the question is getting at there is just integrity of the data being mailed to patients and policyholders and so forth. What can be done there?
So they limit the amount of personal information that's on those, and I think that their guideline, we have a couple of different divisions that do that, patient financial services is one of them, as well as our clinical operations. They limit the amount of data. For instance, they don't put anyone's Social Security on there. While we do have to mail test results, we try and limit as much as that that's there. I'm not sure if that totally answers the question, because we're required by law to disclose that information to mm-hmm. people, so we try and keep kind of identity theft things that could happen to people out of the mail. We only send them information that's clinically necessary for them. No, but that's how we have to communicate to them. We have portals where they can sign up and look at their data online with some of the outside clinics that communicate well. So, I mean, there's a whole other area where there has to be front-end security setting that perimeter, but we do have to mail patient confidential data to people who do it every day, hundreds and thousands of letters a year.
Oh, okay. Bob, I'll just say you were fading in a little bit in and out there, so you may need to move your mouthpiece a little closer.
Sure.
Some more questions coming in about Uniflow. It's been asked how much time was required to deploy and implement Uniflow or the pieces of it that you're using.
We started out with a pilot that ran about 2 months, and I think it was set up in probably a week or two, and we did two or three of our nursing floors, but we had to get sign-off from security, risk. There were a lot of different departments that looked at it, and then I think the start-to-finish rollout that we did, and we only have it in two of our hospitals right now, and we're going to continue rolling it out over the next year. We're converting to a new medical record system, so in each one of our hospitals, and so we put the medical record in first, the new one, which is Epic, is a product we're using, and then we're following that up with the secure print on the back end of it. So it's a 2-year program, but the implementation at our shared services center, which is kind of the nerve center of the healthcare organization that isn't directly involved in delivering healthcare, and two of our hospitals, we rolled it out, and I think it took about 6 months.
See. And your ambition is to have it in place in all of the hospitals in the network?
That's correct.
Ah, okay. Again, more about Uniflow. You had mentioned the badging, and here we want to know, with Uniflow, is the log on to a copy or a badge swipe type or proximity login? And this participant says, we have had some issues with proximity logins, picking up the wrong badge when multiple badges are near, and I guess I can see the situation. Have you had problems like that?
The only problem that we use proximity badges as opposed to the swipe. That was one technology that we looked at. So part of the Uniflow database only allows you to have one from a badge perspective, one ID, and we have several different technologies. I think I mentioned them earlier. We have HID, which is a proximity, and then we use Indela badges as well, that's proximity. Those have unique numbers in them that we use, and there are ways for secretaries or administrative assistants to print people's work, but that's controlled on the back end with software, so that they, when an administrator sends a print job, the administrative assistant, it's in their queue to print. But we have a one-to-one relationship with them, and we haven't had issues that I know of with multiple people's badges getting logged on and seeing other people's data. I mean, that was really the point of it, was we need to keep the data limited to people that, I mean, and it's kind of a military cliche, but with a need to actually see that data and use it for some reason that's a clinical necessity involved in patient care.
Someone's asked a kind of a basic but a very good question here. Do you manage Uniflow or does Canon manage it now? And I wondered about that myself. How much intervention from the vendor have you needed, or are you just completely up and running it with it yourself now?
So the Uniflow is a combination of a couple of different types of systems put together to do this. One of those is an SQL database, which keeps track of all the users' IDs, and that's synchronized with our LDAP server so that their Windows logon information and credentials are there. And then there's also print servers, which are very similar to Windows print servers, but they're unique to the Uniflow system. And then there's an administrative interface, which is done through an IIS system, which is a Microsoft Windows web type of a server. All those are housed in our data centers on site here. And our data storage and server groups maintain the databases and all the storage that they need and keeping Windows up to date. We've outsourced all of our print management to Canon. So they repair all of our printers, they repair all of our copiers, and do our fleet management from a volumetric standpoint. So when somebody needs a new copier, that request goes in through our operations manager, or which is actually Canon's, but I'm so used to, they're almost like our own team because they're here. I think we have 23 or 24 Canon employees that are involved in the repair of that. So the day if somebody says their badge isn't working and they can't get in, that call goes into our service and ticketing system, but it's actually a Canon employee that does that. We looked at the scope and scale. I mean, we could have sent someone to training and maintained it ourselves, but we're responsible for my groups are responsible to maintain our electronic medical records and the way they do that and print and getting the reports set up properly and that kind of thing. We just didn't want to take on yet another system to manage.
That was a very very thorough partnership, and I guess an example of how vendor customer partnerships can work when they're working well. So that's good to hear. Here's a really good question, maybe a little politically sensitive though. Let me go back to that. Yeah, excuse me. Here it is. What can an in-plant manager do to bring document security to the forefront when other departments aren't taking it seriously? And that's a great question because I guess we can never assume that others will be taking document and data security as seriously as we do if we're primarily responsible for it.
Well, it's easier for me to answer this question than probably people in, I'm banking and insurance, they have some of the same regulations, but I mean, we're mandated by law, so everyone from our chief executive officer and our whole board of directors, I mean, it comes all the way down. We can't, with document security and overall practices, you really can't do department or point type of solutions. It has to really come from the top down. And it's, I think the best thing a plant manager can do is educate executives within their company as to the importance of document security. And it's not hard for the people to understand that, even executives that don't understand technology. It's on the news every night that so-and-so healthcare system or so-and-so bank had a data breach. I mean, There was one last week where it was the U.S. government. So, I mean, it's at the forefront. We just need to provide them with the right information and present the tools because, in essence, they have to pay for these kind of things that we want to implement. So that's a tough question if you don't have buy-in at your company, though.
You pretty clearly have that buy-in. I just wondered what your education program was like with all those hospitals and clinics and labs. You mentioned the number of people earlier. I don't recall what it was, but there are a lot of people who need to be educated and made aware, and I just wondered what your formal program of internal training for data and document security is like.
So it starts with onboarding. So part of the process when we onboard new employees is, I think, a two-day onboarding process. IT teaches a security class where we talk about the access to the computers and sharing their passwords and all those kind of things. And part of that is the document security as well. And then we have annual education, which all our caregivers have to go through, from everything from infection control to fire evacuation. And one of those is data and document security, you know, what you can leave laying on your desk and, you know, needs to be secured, those kind of documents. So it's an annual training that we update as that, so that it reflects what our current technology is and the best way for our caregivers to use that technology.
Okay, so Peace Health is a learning organization in the truest sense of that phrase. Well, there's one that may put kind of a cap on this discussion, and that's this one. Since your partnership with Canon has been as successful as it is, perhaps we know part of the answer to the question already, but here it is. What was your selection criteria in choosing Canon as compared to others? And there are a lot of others out there who can provide data and document security solutions. Why all the trust reposed in Canon?
So when 2.5 years ago, when we first put this project out, so the way things work in healthcare is that, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure other businesses have the same thing. They hire outside consultants that come in and say, these are your opportunities to improve operations or save money. And one of those consultants came in and said, well, you could save a lot of money if you did manage print. Well, nobody knew what that was, but our CFO said they're saying we could save X amount of dollars. Let's get a project to do that and go out and do it. Well, healthcare organizations live and die by purchasing off of GPOs. So we have several different ones of those that we work with. And so my options were limited to really the top three. We had Ricoh, Xerox, and Canon. There were a couple of others, but those were part of our GPO. And so we belong to Gartner. And so we started off with their Magic Quadrant and started looking to see who the players were in that market. And then we got a toolkit for this competitive bid that we used where we evaluated. And so we had set up a lab and we had all the vendors bring in equipment. We tested the Uniflow software. We tested a couple of other ones that were being provided by the other vendors. And it just was the best fit for us. It met the criteria. And the Gartner toolkit that they gave us for evaluating the vendors was extensive. I think there was close to 800 or 900 questions that we put out to the vendors. They came in. And then, so it wasn't really a price thing for us because we were purchasing off of a GPO, and that price was long ago negotiated for us in a consortium of more than 100 hospitals that are in it, or hospital systems. So we picked it purely on technology, and it was the best fit that we found at the time. We also looked at reports from IDC and Forrester. They have similar ones, so, you know, but they won't make the decision for you. You really have to look into it. And one of the things that we also learned was it's not a short-term thing. It's not, we can do this project and it's going to take 6 months and get in and out of it. Peace Health made a commitment to doing managed print long-term and in a sustainable way, so that we're, you know, I mean, there's a lot of environmental considerations when you print 120 million pages a year.
Sure.
In the Northwest, we're in the Northwest in Washington, Oregon, and Alaska, where, I mean, there's paper mills here, and a good percentage of our patients could care less how much paper we print because that's what they make for a living. But so we had the sustainability of that, but you know, if we'd have gone into this program and just figured out how much usage we have every month and where we're printing, if it isn't an ongoing thing, you can't continue to be successful. And that's why we from a healthcare system didn't have the resources, and that's why we outsourced the repair of the printers and all the maintenance on the copiers, as well as doing the managed print solution to Canon.
One other thing occurs to me. These days, everything is mobile. Printers, for example, are able to tie into their Plan MIS and, you know, scheduling systems and so forth from from apps on their cell phones and tablets. And I wondered how you know, the mobile computing revolution is impacting what you have to do with respect to security. And again, I'm kind of groping in the dark here. I don't know if you know, there are apps for accessing healthcare information. Maybe there are, maybe there aren't. What impact has mobile had on what you have to do for Peace Health?
So wow, that's a very, very broad subject, because we're constantly dealing with people bringing their own devices and wanting access to our secure infrastructure. So our security department has put things in place so they're on our secure encrypted network. And we don't allow things from our public networks that we have for our patients and patrons of the healthcare system. They have no ability to print other than from some kiosks that we have, so that they can print generic health information that they can Google on, you know, WebMD or whatever. We have those in our patient waiting area so that they can print it. But everyone has to have, use their AD credentials and have a secure encrypted wireless or wired login in order to be able to print any protected healthcare information. It's not that we don't have pressure every day to open that up, I'll tell you that. I mean, it's a constant topic, especially with people wanting to bring their own devices. In fact, I just heard from, in one of our IT meetings, we're considering just giving money to our employees and telling them to buy their own laptops, as opposed to we buy from Dell as part of our GPO, but and letting people bring their own laptops and paying for them every 3 years. So I don't know if that'll come to fruition here, but, you know, that certainly adds an element to that, as well as we have, I think, 800 or 900 providers, which are in there. They come and have hospital access and provide care for our patients, but they have the ability to print it in there, but we can track it actually out to their office and when they and how they print it. We do that not through Uniflow or anything like that, but we do it through our secured access to the healthcare system, our health record systems.
And, Barbara, just a related question. I'm thinking that medical records, after a long time of existing in no form but hard copy, are beginning to be digitized. The general practitioner that I see once a year has a tablet. Actually, he's had for a couple of years, and you know, all my information is on the tablet with a swipe of the stylus. You know, he gets all of my records and all of the records of all of his other patients, and I'm just wondering if, as healthcare providers, you know, move to digitize their data, does that create issues of security for organizations like yours? Does it make it better? Does it make it worse? Or is it neutral?
Well, I can only answer how we deal with it. We drew the line in 2006 and said that everything was going to be electronic going forward, and we're regulated on how long we have to keep certain types of documents. For instance, the little neonatal strips that come off when babies are born, we have to keep those for 25 years. So, and currently they're only required to be in paper form, so we use Iron Mountain and some of the box storage places for those, as well as scan them in now. So at some point, we won't have to maintain the paper, but for certain, I mean, patients only are either your patients so long, or they move on, or they pass away. So I think we keep any paper records that we move around 7 to 10 years, but that's, we have a whole document life cycle department that deals with that.
Bob, you're doing a wonderful job of fielding all these questions. We have time for a couple more. Anything else on the minds of our audience, who have been giving us some really good ones? Anything else you would like to ask of Bob while we still have him here with us? Just look at the chat box for another couple of seconds here. All right, Bob, again, I think we've covered this topic very, very thoroughly. I don't think you could have done a better job of bringing us up to date on what Peace Health is doing than you have, and I really, really am grateful for this. Again, this will bring us to the conclusion of our program this morning. I do want to remind everyone that this webinar is going to continue to be available on demand. You can either use the same link that you logged in at today, or you can go to our webinar webpage. That's implantgraphics.com/webinars, and it should be up there tomorrow, and you can take a look and you can review. And the only other thing we would ask of you today, we really do appreciate your attention and your participation, is that you take part in the survey that you have just seen come up on your screen. Your feedback will help us improve the subject matter and the quality of these webinars going forward, so we really would like to hear from you. So with that, I'm going to thank Bob again, thank our friends at Canon Solutions America, and thank all of you for taking part in today's program. We do hope to see you again soon at the next Implant Graphics webinar. Thank you so much.